whether you're getting away or getting amongst it. Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy with the Holden Colorado. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, it's been a big 24 hours in showbiz. We'll get to the bottom of that very shortly. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy. Welcome to Thursday, Australia.
Yes, the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. No Dangerous Dave, so what's his name's in?
James.
Hi. Hi, it's good to be here, guys.
Thank you, James, for your bubbling personality.
Pipe down. Hey, big show today. We're going to do one job. We keep saying we're doing this.
But we're definitely getting to
it's
it
on.
Today.
It's in the order.
And
Cricket
Australia are in there today.
Oh.
For unusual reasons.
I think we've worked out the problem.
We've got a chick flick alert too.
It's a kind of one.
It's a kind of chick flick alert.
But it's enough.
It's enough.
Guys need to know.
It fits the profile.
It's out there. It's on the books. You need to know. It's coming to a town near you.
I'll tell you who we've got coming in.
Yep.
An amazing champ, Robert Whittaker.
I love this bloke. A UFC champ, Australian man. It's a great backstory. Triple M Presents. He's on a speaking tour. We're going to get to the bottom, or at least try and scratch the surface of his very interesting life and how he got to where he is. Stand by for that. Robert Whittaker. There'll be Triple M fans all over the joint waiting for that.
Wonderful. Apocalypse Watch. Dun-dun.
I've got...
Don't do that.
Why not? Dun, dun.
Hey, I said don't do that.
There's a better intro.
Well, we've got some very weird apocalyptic-style behaviour to dramatise. Adam Rosenbergs.
Wow.
Now,
he's been in Iraq.
Genuine friend of the show.
Oh, we like to say that now.
He's come back from Iraq.
Okay.
I was really hoping the whole Syria thing, when it blew up, would leak into Iraq and possibly take him out.
Really?
But didn't happen. No. Gone wild.
Hooray, it's Thursday, our favourite segment, and we have an update on... The Knickers, the cow, you know that enormous
Knickers.
Overgrown cow.
Massive.
Knickers. Yes.
Knickers.
We've got an update.
It's unbelievable. And guess what?
What?
This weekend, Phillip Island, MotoGP. Who else do you want to speak to? Wayne Gardner
He's
will be
the
on
only
the phone
one I want to
live
talk to,
from
Mickey.
Phillip Island.
Great.
We'll get to the bottom of that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through. But I start with, I don't know, I just, I've never been more disappointed after... After you blew your own trumpet for so long, Jane Kennedy, you came in here throwing your weight around, going, I won't have to be here for much longer. Get rid of you losers.
Now,
I'm off to the show.
Who would the audience like to hear from, Mick or me?
I'm going to do a show, cooking show with my showbiz mates, Matt Preston and Gary Meehan.
First of all, when we came, we went to Brisbane last weekend for the Radio Awards.
Didn't happen, by the way.
On Monday, Mick and our executive producer, Jay, are all whisper, secretive. And what are you whispering about? And they go, oh, nothing, don't worry. Go, what is it? Okay, they heard from a very reliable source up there
I think you're giving away our sources.
No, I haven't given away the source.
I don't think it came from there. I think it came
Brisbane's
from...
very big. Brisbane's huge. Right, I'm not giving anything
can
away.
Can we play the announcement first before you get into this? Can I play how I found out that you were?
Well, you first of all, the rumour was I was going to join up with Matt and Gary for
New
a
George.
New cooking show on Channel 7. And I kept denying it and you kept pushing it. Go, then the papers, my parents are ringing, my friends are ringing me. My kids are saying, Mum, what's this about a TV show you're doing that you haven't told us about?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear what happened at the 7 upfronts yesterday.
We won't go from the upfronts. We'll go from sunrise this morning because I fell asleep last night. So this is what I found out.
Celebrity chefs Matt Preston and Gary Meehan are calling 7 home, teaming up with Manu for a brand new cooking show, Plate of Origin.
Yeah, it's Manu.
Could I say, you disappointed me a number of times over the years, but this is, I reckon,
I have
the most disappointing.
Really?
You talked a good game.
I told
but when
you,
it came to it,
I said it
you
was
had nothing
not
in
me.
The tank.
I said it wasn't going to be me. I said, where would I find the time anyway to do this show?
Manu was already
which
on their books
bleeds here. Me dry doing this.
Oh,
how was I going to combine that and a massive, highly paid television career as well?
Well, it wasn't going to happen, was it?
Well, it could have been. In fact, people have suggested that I wouldn't have been a bad choice.
Why don't you, maybe you could cook some sausages out the front of Bunnings or something.
Well, Big Brother's...
You're a disappointment to me.
I'm not.
Well, you are, because I just had such high hopes for you. I thought I'd get some free food, be some fun.
Did not. So what happens? Don't disappoint me.
And what show are they doing? What's the show?
It's Plate of Origin. It's cooking from different...
All the
cuisines from different countries. It's ringing a bell for some reason, the idea. I don't know.
Stolen, you say?
No, I'm saying it's an idea that I might have heard from somewhere else.
Well, why don't you ring anyway, showbiz mates?
Oh, well, I'll get on to that.
Anyway, there's lots of... Was my show mentioned at the upfront?
I think it was on, like, page 3 of the
Hang
release.
Hang on, I'll just go to the end.
Stuffed.
I'll go to the
Who
index.
Quiet.
Let me see.
Quiet.
It's fairly deep.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Front Bar is returning next year.
Yes.
So there, you've got a job.
We're back. Big Brother's returning. You could do that. You could host Big Brother.
Really?
Oh, can I say something? What? I heard something to this effect.
Don't you start this again. Not in Brisbane, was it?
I heard that you, with some of your other radio female hosts, might be getting together. Yes.
Well, just you be quiet in case you spoil something else for me.
All right, Jane Kennedy. I know you're disappointed today.
Not really.
Oh, you've been crying all morning.
No, I have not.
Look, your makeup's running.
I'm in a good mood.
You're not.
I am.
Happy. You feel like a bit of a loser.
Oh, stop.
But you're not. Okay. In my eyes, you're really.
Oh, shut up now.
Champ.
Play the killers, James.
For the Holden Colorado, now backed with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You had one job.
And you pinhead screwed it up!
All right, here we go. Let's get into it. Let's start with Cricket Australia, Jane Kennedy.
Yep. They're looking for a new cricket selector, which I would think is a very, very important job.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Guess where they're looking? On
Seek.com.
One job to do here.
The advertisement went online last week and it called for an experienced and motivated selector to apply for the role within the Australian men's team.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just confused because this is within Cricket Australia as a body, would have many, many contacts of people and people they would think could be appropriate for the job.
How many people can be ready to run Cricket
Australia? It's a very big job.
Right, it's a
as
very
a
big
selector.
Job. There aren't many, and yet I would have thought you wouldn't have to advertise in a paper.
It's a very strange decision, but do you want to know how it's justified? Let's have a listen to CEO Kevin Roberts justify it.
Obviously, we're speaking directly to a number of candidates in the game, and but we want to make sure, you know, we don't have everyone's phone number who's involved in cricket.
One job to do here.
But that means anybody can apply, and they've got to now go through Joe Blow.
I can't go through my phone. Book. I've got a referendum somewhere. Look, you just advertise it on Seek.
I can't call in all the ex-test cricketers that I know. God, why would I ask anybody like that? Why would I ask Shane Warne? Why wouldn't I go through and pick his brain?
A selector is the most important job in Australian cricket if you're not actually playing.
I could apply. You need to do it.
But I could find you all the numbers of everybody
who you need
to talk to about being a selector. Give me a day and I'll give you the name of everyone who's eligible for that job.
Quite extraordinary.
You lazy, no good bum.
Okay. Now we know.
What's his name?
Oh, Kevin Roberts.
Kevin Roberts. Mate, here's a job for Seek. Your job.
Welcome to Cricket Australia, Kevin.
Think? Cricket Australia.
Ouch.
Who, by the way, I'm working with at the moment, I'd just like to say.
You're very respectful
Jeez,
towards
forgot
him.
About that.
You forgot?
They're a good bunch, yeah.
Just no, reminded
well,
you.
It'll be great to get together over summer.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Kevin Roberts.
Kevin?
Yeah.
And
CEO.
We'll work together.
All right. It'll all go well soon.
If you're still in a job.
Right. Let's get to the nuclear attack-proof warplane.
This is interesting, isn't it?
It's a US warplane that was built to withstand a nuclear attack.
That's right. It can do anything. So a nuclear attack in air, it can keep flying.
Must be an incredible piece of machinery.
It's been taken down by a bird.
You had one job.
What?
It was flying on an exercise when one of its four engines was struck by an unidentified bird.
I can't even identify the bird.
It's
You've got one job.
One job.
Stuck up on them.
Jeepers.
It's taking it down. Mayday, mayday, abandoned ship, we've been hit by a bird.
Oh,
the incident was declared a Class A mishap.
You could say that.
No, I could think of a different word for mishap.
My God.
Its plane's been grounded. There's a full inquiry.
Yeah, the inquiry says we may have to go back to the drawing board.
Release the birds! That's right, if you ever see these planes attacking in future...
Run away.
Just
this one,
frighten some pigeons.
Okay, this is about Domino's. And hey, Domino's...
You had like one job to do here.
Because an angry vegan, you know what they're like...
Well, that's angry's redundant.
Vegan is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Has lashed out at Domino's after being served ham... when he ordered a plant-based pizza.
You had one job.
Patrick Hukins from Sydney said he felt horrendous after eating real pig flesh. And it's the first time I'd eaten meat in, 4 years. Yeah. Who cares? I thought it meant ever. Just decided 4 years ago to become
a
vegan, mate.
You ate some ham. Oh, call the ranger. I mean, what do you want me to do about it? You ate some ham. I'm sick of this whole. That's so. Someone's trying to it with serving peanuts to.
No, but what if you're anaphylactic and you say, "I want a pizza. Don't put peanuts on it. You've got one job, or I'll die." It's the same thing.
I don't think anyone's ended up in hospital with a face like a basketball
from eating
because they're eating a ham on a vegetarian.
No, but
pizza.
It might really upset people.
Who's honestly is it? What?
No, people
what
are
level
committed to the cause. They're very committed.
Well, you know what? I'm committed to not eating broccoli. So if what happened if I accidentally ate some broccoli?
Well, would you be distressed?
Oh, I would.
Would you feel horrendous?
I would.
After eating real vegetables?
I'd go and throw up. Then I'd probably not eat for a week. I'd go and have a shower in the fetal position.
Well, he's very upset.
Man up, you idiot.
Domino's have been advertised and they've got vegan pizza and that's the point.
Has some ham.
Accidentally?
I mean, being Domino's, the chance of it being real ham is kind of... I'm still not convinced he hasn't eaten
meat. Hey, look, give us a call, 133353. You've had one job, everybody.
If I eat meat, I don't eat plants. If anyone ever accidentally gives me... If you gave me an artichoke, I will sue you.
What a sooky lala. Thanks, James.
133353, one job.
Oh, get involved.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
You had one job.
And you pinhead screwed it up!
Yes.
That's right.
Adelaide Council had one job.
What was that?
It was a proposed plan for a skate park. And that's a great idea because, you know, we know that skate parks are really popular. Yeah. It was the Tea Tree Gully Council released two new designs.
Yeah.
And one of the images has, got a lot of traction in the social media. It's basically a dick and balls. I really don't like saying that expression.
But it is what it is.
It is what it is. And
that's how it was pitched.
Yes, that's
so
right.
What's your design for the new skate park? Basically, it's a dick and balls.
That's
right,
true.
So, well, if you notice, their oval, which is a world-class oval,
yes,
it's the toilet seat.
Is that what it's the nickname
if you
is?
Look, if you call it toilet seat, if you look at it from above, it looks like a toilet seat and probably needs a few urinal cakes in there after a port game.
I don't want death threats here, please.
Untrustworthy about them generally. They come from a lower eco social group.
Oh, my God. Stop now.
Not good people.
Stop it.
Koshy's their appointed leader. I mean. You know what I mean? Criminal intellect.
I'm going to need a bodyguard.
Criminal intellect.
Can I get on to another subject that we were talking about?
Not to be trusted. Most of them, they shouldn't even be allowed to gather together because generally when you're on parole, you're not allowed coalesce with other.
Can I go back to someone
types.
Else that you've been very hard on?
BDI.
Cricket Australia you've been very tough on.
Who?
You're very tough on the CEO of Cricket Australia, Kevin Roberts.
You had one job.
Yes, because they're looking for the Cricket Australia selector.
Advertising a job as a selector. There's three.
They advertise on Seek.com.
There's three as the most important jobs. It's usually a chapel. Here's your last selectors. Chapel Brothers, Merv Hughes. That's right. Booney.
We will give you Shane Warne's phone number. Trust us. Don't worry. But Bruce.
How hard can it be?
Bruce, what do you got to say about it?
Well, often it's a legal reason. Like they might have the person already chosen, but they still have to advertise the position.
But well, he didn't say that when he was asked about it.
So when they select, when the selectors choose the, who's going to bowl, open the bowling for Australia, do they have to advertise the position? We're about to give the opening bowls thing, but just so everyone gets a chance, mate. It's not a government
body.
Is it?
It doesn't matter. Like you could work for the prison. You could work anywhere.
That's so funny you brought that up, Bruce.
I would have thought this is an absolutely specialist job. Therefore, you wouldn't have to advertise it because who else? There's only a handful of people who could be the selector for the Australian men's cricket team.
Could you do it, Bruce?
Oh, of course I could. I'd probably do it better than you, Mick.
Oh,
hey. All right, well.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. Because you're on the front foot there.
Thanks, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
All right, yeah. Let's get back on track because we're saying you only had one job.
Had one job.
Ralph, what happened to you?
I pulled in to go to Subway.
Yeah?
Out of the truck. And there no subs. They go, you can have a wrap. I said, it's not Wrapway.
One job.
South Melbourne Dimmies.
So you
went to Subway and they got no rolls?
No subs. I said, the bread. He goes, no, I just don't want to cook anymore.
What?
All right, I'll go next door.
Jeez, Ralph. We got a prize for Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Got no subs.
Ralph, we're going to send
you of bread.
To Kiss's End of the Road World Tour. Final tickets available now from Ticket Tech.
Magnificent. Thank you.
God, you're Ralph. Sorry to hear about your troubles. That's terrible. You can't
see
that.
That's crazy.
Hey, Melissa's on the line. Melissa. One job.
Hi, how are you?
Who is it?
Broccoli. I'm allergic to broccoli.
Oh, so you're
everything.
You're in relation to I said.
You said that vegans were carrying on because they didn't want to eat meat.
And I'm saying I don't want to eat vegetables, so I shouldn't have to.
But you don't like
but
vegetables.
If someone accidentally gave me some broccoli,
what would happen to you?
I would.
You'd spit it out like a child.
And then I would go to hospital.
Melissa.
Yes.
What happens if you eat broccoli?
I pass out. So they thought I had a brain tumour when I was younger, but it's from broccoli.
Now, that's a very big... You can't really pull that. And you know kids say I don't like broccoli or Brussels sprouts.
Oh,
that's
man.
A big...
Imagine
that,
if you
that's
had
a good acting
imagine
job.
Imagine if you had a doctor's certificate saying you're allergic to broccoli. Oh, man.
That's the golden ticket, Melissa.
Oh, that's the best bit of documentation you've ever had. All right, well done. Can I borrow your... Who's doctor? I want to... Stay on the line. I'll get you. Adrian's on the line. Adrian, who's got one job?
Mate, Hungry Jack's. They put out a plant-based burger.
Yeah.
And then in the pamphlet, they advertise that it's cooked on the same surface the meat is.
You had, like, what's one job to do here.
But then they'll have to build new Hungry Jack's. They'll have to build new...
Well, hang on.
It's going to be expensive.
No, just another...
Yeah, that's expensive. You don't know how much it costs.
But what's the point?
Another one that's popped up. Your weather reporter said that it was sunny all afternoon and it's hailing in Western Sydney in a storm.
They had like one job to do here.
It's fair enough. I think, isn't it? The whole of Australia is going berserk
but
today.
But hang on a second. If Hungry Jack's are making meat, a plant-based meatless products, I think you should cook it on a special
I'd think
cook-top.
That too. Yeah, yeah, that's fair enough.
Otherwise, you're just pulling the piss. Otherwise,
or pulling the meat.
They're lying to you about the meat.
All right.
Just come out and say it's plant-based meat too, by the way.
Australia's very upset.
A lot of it based around fast food.
All right, coming up next, we've got a chick flick alert, people.
Seriously, if you can't get a national selector for this,
I don't know what's happening.
Without advertising, it's trouble.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy. This is not a drill. Calling all men. Is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning, warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
All right, here it is. Guys, strap yourself in. Now, this is not a traditional chick flick alert because it's not coming to a cinema. It's coming to a theatre near you. But
a concert hall, in fact.
A concert hall, but the consequences are just as grave, I'm afraid. It is a concert version, a fully blown concert version of the chick flick Love Actually.
Warning, chick flick.
Yes. Oh,
hooray.
It's out there. It's coming. It's as we speak.
Oh,
it is on tour around Australia. Well, it'll be here in December. So you've been warned. It's going to Brisbane, Adelaide, Hamer Hall twice.
One sold out already as
well. Oh, good Lord.
So it'll be an orchestra playing to the film.
Yep.
So and a song like this might come on as you're watching. Oh, yeah.
A And then a bunch of fops in relationships acting in a very English manner, including Hugh Grant. I mean, it's got Hugh Grant in it.
It has got Hugh Grant.
What can I say?
Directed by Richard Curtis, of course, who also directed Bridget Jones' Diary in my favourite film. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, well, there's
Notting
another one.
Hill.
That'll be on tour next. You're going to step out your front door.
These are my dream movies.
Love Actually, in concert, guys. You are going to get dragged along. Look, it's dangerously close to Christmas. The hints will be dropped. Oh, you know,
well, that's
a
nice Christmas present.
Oh, no, it's not.
It is.
It's not.
It's a must-do event in December.
If you are in the tin, okay. If you're in the tin and you need to do something to get out of trouble.
In the tin?
In the doghouse. You go, all right,
Sit through not only the film, a symphony orchestra
as well. The only people there, only men in that audience will be guys in trouble at home or guys who want to get a root. Otherwise,
men have no reason to be there. In the publicity.
This film, do you rate this film?
Yeah.
Oh,
I rate this film. I love this film.
Unbelievable. I cried. Did you cry like a little baby?
Totally. When Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman break up because he had an affair on the slide and Emma Thompson was really... No, I'm not going to cry here now. But Liam Neeson's in it and he'd lost his wife and that was sad. You know the storyline.
One of the great bloopers of all time is this what I've heard, so you could tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, sure.
At the end, there's a guy who holds up a sign and says to me, you're perfect.
Yes.
And he goes and knocks on the door. When she opens the door, he's standing there.
Yeah.
Well, she's living with a guy. How does he know the guy's not going to open the door? And so he's there. Ha! Spoiler alert. Ruined the ending for you.
Have you not seen a romantic comedy in your life? Do you not know the coincidence...
But what if
he'd open the magic formula for every romantic comedy.
So she's trying, and it's a dirty little tale too, he's trying to pluck her from a happy marriage.
Yes, he is.
And so he's trying to crowbar her.
Have you seen the film?
Mate, might have. Yeah. Might have.
Oh, that's very interesting. All of a sudden, you know all about it.
Well, we'll see you at the concert.
No, thanks.
I would rather stick needles in my eyes and hammer both my ears.
Yeah, but what if you...
Till they were bleeding.
What if you got a little hanky-panky from it? You'd be coming along going, all I want for Christmas.
I'll tell you what, she'd have to be really hot. Real hot.
You can look that up. It's in December if you want to go, everyone.
Secret model. Get me along to that thing.
Oh, you
no
wish.
Stars. No stars.
You wish.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. He's the UFC's People's Champ.
Head kick for Whittaker, follows it up with a straight right.
Robert Whittaker.
He's one of these guys that can face every style at any time because striking is his comfort zone.
Robert was born in New Zealand but now calls Australia home. He became the country's first UFC champion in 2017.
Middleweight champion of the world, Robert!
Earlier this month, Robert took to the octagon right here in Australia.
This is UFC 243, Whittaker versus Adesanya. There is so much love in this building and around the world for you, and we know you'll be back strong.
Honestly, this is the best I've ever felt. Didn't get the W today, but I'm not going anywhere.
And he's just about to embark on an up-close-and-personal speaking tour of the country in November and December. Please welcome to the show...
The Reaper!
Robert Whittaker.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks.
That's all right, mate. Thank you for swinging by.
Yeah.
We've got a bit to get through with you. It's a very interesting backstory we want to get through. Firstly, bad luck on the middleweight title, but you ran into a very good fighter on the day.
Yeah,
he was in absolute mint condition. Yeah,
hats off to him. You know, I came in there feeling absolutely amazing, and then got caught and took the loss. So
you look all right. So you've recovered well. Did it take long to get back in?
Nah, nothing but bumps and bruises, a little bit of hurt ego. But
what was it like fighting in front of, was it 57, like so many people, 57,000?
Yeah.
Was that a spin-out?
I think it's the biggest UFC crowd in 2 days.
Was it distracting or was it inspiring?
No, we made history that card. So it was absolutely unreal to walk out and to feel the love of the fans. It was It was a moment I'll never forget.
What song do you walk out to?
K-San.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Great.
Honestly, that is one of my most memorable moments ever.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you think they'll ever have like a celebrity UFC before on
Please
before
do
the main
not
fight?
Suggest yourself.
Oh, no, I'm certainly interested.
I want to fight Matt Preston.
Oh,
in the octagon, and we will do it. You got two little boys and a young girl. Is that,
yes.
right?
Is that why you're going on tour? to get out of the house. They're very little, and that's a busy household you've got.
They're very little. When will you put them? When will they? Can they learn martial arts or mixed martial arts?
Soon as they start to listen, they're little terrors. It's hard to time down.
And you say they mimic you, and they just obviously see you training, and they watch you, and they throw little kicks at you.
100%. My little boy's been throwing right hooks at me since he was two.
My boys wait till I fall asleep, then they shave my legs. So they're working at different sides of the street, really, aren't they?
Robert, when you walked in, and you have one of the things I first noticed, apart from how fit you are your manners, and it was really great to you. Went and shook hands with everyone in the studio and out there, which I really respect. And also, you're not known for being sort of a trash talker. Does that throw people as well, that you're sort of the smiling assassin?
I think the people that really try to bank heavily on disliking their opponents, that certainly throws them off. But for me, like, what happens on the field stays on the field. That's the sort of mentality I grew up with, and that's what I got.
Who did you admire as a fighter when you before you took the plunge yourself?
Mate, I was never really into watching a lot of fights. You know, obviously, I think like growing up and watching John Wayne Parr and Zambitas and guys like that, the old Australian kickboxing. Was that
your dad who introduced you to that world?
Yeah, like, he introduced me to watching some kickboxing, but my parents got me into karate, and I just love combat sports. I've just ran away with it.
So let's talk about your family. And the reason we have you on today, apart from the fact that you're a national icon and GQ Sportsman of the Year last year, there's many reasons to talk to you. But we at Triple M are part of a presents of your up close and personal tour, which I imagine is a talking tour from you, where you get up and talk about your life and where you've come from and how you got where you are.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's a story, I guess, from about my life, about how I got to where I am, how I got to a world title with the resources that I was.
Where did you start from? Just a quick précis, if we could.
I grew up with a split family, housing commission, alcoholism throughout the family, mental illness throughout the family, and. Yeah, you know, it was a little bumpy.
How about your school life? Is it this period of time you're at school?
Yeah, certainly. You know, I think, like, growing up in poverty certainly has a stigma attached to it. So, and I tell you what, kids are ruthless.
Wow. So you copped
it. That is a very good observation. Yeah. Kids haven't learned the nuances.
Was there any teachers or anyone that stood out that sort of saw something in you? Did you have anyone?
There were certainly some teachers that could tell that I had some sort of talent and would always put me on the football team. But
more than that, sort of took you under your wing a bit, or...
You know, looking reflectively, I can see the teachers that tried to do that. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, growing up with the stigma of poverty and stuff, you kind of get swept into a sort of disgruntled crowd. So I was a bit of a pain in the ass.
So you learned to fight to defend yourself, to protect yourself?
Yeah. So my parents put me in for self-defense, and then I kind of, you know, coming from poverty, I found that I had to try to identify myself in something away from poverty, you know. And,
have you ever been involved in the gang culture? Have you ever been running with a crowd, or have you always been a fiercely independent?
Yeah,
type?
No, I was very fortunate that, because there was a lot of guys that I grew up with, you know, in the townhouses, in the housing commission, like, that have took that path. But I was fortunate enough to have sports and to have the team sports of football as well as martial arts.
And what was the switch when you decided, I think I can make a go of this as a profession?
Honestly, growing up with my history, my upbringing, it wasn't until I had actually gotten into the UFC where I was like, maybe I can do this for a living. Like,
what about mental health as well? How have you been coping with that?
Yeah, so mental health is a big talking point for me as well, because depression and a lot of other mental issues run throughout my family. And
can we come back and talk to you some more about that? Because I think our audience in particular are very interested. We're talking to Robert Whittaker. He's on the verge, on the eve of his up close and personal tour. You mentioned K-San is you come into. We're going to play it. It's a Triple M
great
favorite.
Idea.
Worlds Collide. We'll play a K-San and come back with some more Robert Whittaker.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We are talking to Robert Whittaker, who's on the eve of his up close and personal tour, He'll be a fascinating chat about his life to date. We've got the dates. We're going to put the dates on our website. But yeah, QPAC in Brisbane will be a great gig. Star Gold Coast, awesome. Civic Theatre Newcastle. These are all good theatres, by the way. If you live in these local areas, get out there and say hello. Rest Point Casino, Palms at Crown, Theberton Theatre Adelaide, the Enmore Sydney, and on. We will post all those dates. You mentioned your battles with mental health, and this is something that particularly is of interest to our audience, who are younger, largely male. What advice do you give people out there who you think are maybe struggling with this?
Honestly, if you're not into sports, like try to get into some form of sports, you know, and find one that.
And why is that? Do you think there's a nexus between physical and mental health?
There is a scientific attachment to those two things. So, like your mental health, your mental health is directly affected by your physical health, and vice versa. But I think moving and exercising it chemically helps you balance. It produces like very positive chemicals that help you just make things better.
Yeah.
What was the motivation for you? Did you speak with someone? Did something finally happen in your life where you thought, I've really got to just, and you know, it takes a lot of guts to reach out for help?
Yeah. Well, the thing is and me personally, I've only identified this maybe in the last year. Mm. It's something that like I've always had that I kind of just rid off as who I am.
Mm.
And until like people around me, people like that I've surrounded myself with say, hold on, why do you keep falling off the rail at these times? And then I had to look back and then you start identifying the symptoms and then you're like, wow, this happens to everybody.
So up close and personal, it's your journey through life. It's, as we said, it starts from a fairly low base. But I tell you what, you've done a great job and you've really stuck at it and you might have been kicking into a fair breeze, but you've got a beautiful wife
and
three
kids.
Beautiful kids. Mm. You're a champion of your sport and you're out there now on the road helping other people. It's a pretty good story. Yeah. You should be very proud of yourself.
And also, I don't know, I know that you're fighting, but you got a very pretty face and how come your teeth are so perfect?
She never says this to me. She's never said this to me once. I work with her every day.
My teeth aren't perfect, actually. This.
Really? Oh, no, but I can't see that. They're in good nick. From this angle, don't give it away, mate.
Hey, what do you do? What's the plans UFC wise? So you're gonna take your time. Get straight back in there. What's the plan?
I just jumped back into the gym as soon as I could. You know, the last fight, you know, disappointing as it was, mate. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm excited for the next chapter.
Fantastic.
I'm hungrier than ever. This weekend, I'm competing at Pan Pacs down here in Melbourne. So I'm super pumped to jump to that.
Yep.
And probably looking February, March next year to try and get back in there and get to work.
We'll be rooting for you. I'll tell you what.
I'll see you down the gym.
I'll see you on the mats tomorrow, mate.
I'll see you on the mats. Bring your A game, Whittaker. Hey, thanks for swinging by. Yeah. Where are the dates?
You can see all of the dates for Triple M Presents Up and Close Personal Tour with Robert Whittaker at www.robertwhittaker, that's 2ts.co/events.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for swinging by.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, it's a testosterone-fueled show today. We've just had Robert Whittaker on. Coming up live from Phillip Island, it'll be Wayne Gardner, MotoGP 500cc world champ. Cannot wait to touch base about the bikes this weekend. Going to be huge.
I'll be the touch of estrogen.
Okay.
And Gone Wild's coming up as well.
Wow.
We've got some wonderful news about...
Give me one.
Chris the Merino has died.
Wonderful.
You asked who Chris
was. What about Knickers is on tour?
I've talked about Knickers the cow.
That's a better story.
Knickers the cow.
Knickers
the
cow.
The biggest cow in Australia.
Biggest steer ever.
Biggest steer you've ever
wow,
seen.
Wow, can't wait.
And rats that ride cars.
We'll take your course, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Last time we caught up with Adam Rosenbarks, he was exploring the Hinge dating app.
It's kind of like a nicer version of Tinder, I guess. You get to know a little bit more about the person, I think.
I'm looking at your photos here, Rosie. Oh. It's the many moods of Rosie. Well, just
clearly
stand up.
All those moods are desperate.
You know, the one thing, though, I've noticed, photos that the girls put up, they put a lot of jumping in the air. It's like I've never met a girl and people go, what's she like? And you go, she's got a cracking vertical leap. Like, I just...
He's recently returned from a tour of Saddam Hussein's old base in Taji, Iraq. Hinge hookup? Let's find out as we welcome back to the show, Adam Rosenbarks.
Yes.
Welcome home. Welcome back to Well, your home soil. How was it? How'd you go? In a nutshell, I mean, we've done a few of these between us, these Forces Entertainment tours. They're always fun. You always get more out of them than they seem to get from us, and it's always fairly ripe. There's always a bit going on.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic experience just to go over there, and you just get an appreciation of what our troops go through when they're out and they're deployed in country.
Yep.
In the middle of a war zone, and you just see they live through that 8 to 10 months of the year. So when we come back and complain about the self-service checkout at Coles, you're a bit like, suck it up, mate.
That's right. Yeah. Or the vending machine
not working.
It's out of Burger Rings. I sat there today shaking my head going, what kind of world do I live in?
But you deserve a medal.
But that's what they're fighting for.
That's right.
My right to a full vending machine.
Your freedom.
And they're a good bunch of men and women on the ground over there, aren't they?
They really are fantastic.
They do us proud.
And they look after us. And so it was kind of like... You're at a base in the Middle East. That's where we start off from, and then we fly into.
Are you blindfolded when you get there?
We're allowed to know where we are.
All right. I just know everything has to be very, very top secret.
It is top secret. Last time I went, my girlfriend at the time was like, "So you can't tell me anything about where you're going or anything." And I said, "No, it's top secret." And I said, "Well, I guess if you don't hear anything, you'll open up the Herald Sun to page 3, and I'll be there." And she just went, "You won't be on page 3."
When in that conversation you have with your girlfriend, it's top secret, I can't tell you where I'm going?
Yeah.
I have that every Friday night. Same conversation. It's classified information.
Very
I can't
classified.
Now tell me about Iraq and what it's like in Iraq. I'm guessing you're not out in the population.
No, not at all. So we flew into Baghdad Airport, and then from there we go to Taji Air Base. Now, that is a 7-minute flight from one airport to the next. They won't let the Australians drive because it's so dangerous out on the ground. But here's this. The Americans, they're like, yeah, go for it. They regularly drive back and forth. That's how much they rate their life. They just go, yeah, you go. So it's a 7-minute flight. But the thing is, when you come in, they had a tactical landing, right?
Right.
So imagine you're on a normal plane and the plane is horizontal to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came in to lose altitude and speed, they do a U-turn and the plane goes from, say, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, the wings, to 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock as it turned around. I was standing up in the cockpit as this happened. No one told me it was coming. And it was like being hit in the face by the All Black front row. It was 2.2 G-force. And they said...
Oh, it was G-force. So what kind of plane is it?
It was a Hercules.
Jeepers.
I famously fell asleep in the back of a Herc. a C-31.
Did you really?
And that's why you're not a soldier, Mick.
Slipped like a baby.
How did you go in the bathroom on the back of the Herc? So to fill you in, Jane, there is a toilet on the Hercules.
For a 7-minute trip, I wouldn't have thought you need a whiz then.
No, we had to go to Iraq first.
Cool,
just wanted
sure.
to join the Mile High Club. Yeah.
But it's like a port-a-loo with just a curtain around it. Do you remember that, Mickey?
Yeah, that's right.
And so if you're standing on, if you're a guy and you're taking a leak, there's every chance that you could fall back through the curtain with your dick out, knock yourself out on the pallet behind you, and then the loadies would take a photo of you before they brought you to.
I did that on a Qantas flight once. I don't know how I did it. So, and that's Saddam Hussein country, Taji, is it? No, did you see? I'm guessing you didn't get out, so you didn't get to see anything.
We didn't get to see beyond the base, but there's a lot of stuff happening on the base. One of the things that we did go to was the tank graveyard. So this is all of Saddam Hussein's old tanks that had been...
He's got his super gun? Remember he used to have the old super gun?
Oh, we didn't see any super gun.
The super gun, that was the one that was supposed to be able to shoot a bomb into America. Yeah. No. It was a prop.
No.
So what's the tanks?
So the tanks is just all these old decommissioned tanks that were basically blown up by the Yanks when they went through there in 91. So this is the Republican Guard's old base.
Yeah.
And amazingly, like Iraq, you know, is full of oil and stuff. There are patches around the base. So the base is just sort of gravel and rocks and dust.
Yes.
Where oil just seeps up from the ground, just randomly.
Like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to go to a song. You brought in a song. You want a song?
Oh, I did bring in a song. Now, this is for the diggers over in Taji. And amazingly,
I'll be listening.
Do they think they listen to the podcast?
They could.
They
can listen to anything.
Well, we'll give a shout out to you all.
Yeah. So the Kiwis, so we were there with a couple of bands. The Kiwis kept yelling out, "Play horses." And we're like, how do you guys know horses? You're New Zealanders. Daryl Braithwaite's not over there. And they just go, no, the Australians call it out all the time. We're sick of it.
So what are you going to play?
So we're playing horses, not for the Kiwi diggers, but for
would
the
Would you
Australians.
Like me to do backup vocals for the entire
Can you
time?
Do it?
Yeah. I'll tell something interesting about Daryl Braithwaite.
I'd love to.
Here we go. Back with more Adam after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This
is Kennedy Malloy.
We have Adam Rosenbarks, who's just got back from entertaining the troops over in Hyrark. Back in one piece, safe and sound. I always ask this. You know, we have to go through a lot of checks and a lot of briefings and a lot of stuff. They take it very seriously. I always felt safe. We were surrounded by our soldiers, though. They were very good at their job and at keeping you safe. How did you feel on this one?
Look, we felt safe to a – obviously, it's to a point, as you know, Mickey. Yes. There's nothing they can't control everything. They have a blimp that sits above the base that kind of keeps an eye on the perimeter and anyone who might be trying to attack the base.
Yes.
The funny thing about that is we're all so excited by the blimp. We're trying to take photos of it. And they're like, don't take photos of it. We don't want anyone to know it's there.
No.
It's like – it's 400 metres in the air. Like, everyone in Baghdad can see
this. It's like I'm not taking it away. I'm going to post it on Insta. Yeah. What? No.
I can see it.
You were entertaining the troops, as you say, and they must really appreciate when you come up on stage. What's the reception like when you go out?
The reception is fantastic. Just to see new faces around the base, because they, you know, we're not wearing camouflage like they are in the army fatigues. So they know that we're new. They're expecting us. And they just love it. They just love it. It's 2 hours out of their life.
To be honest, there hasn't been a lot of entertainment coming through, has there?
So. And why is that? Is it just people don't want to go and you guys are hard and tough and do it?
No, it's just pretty hard to organise.
Yeah,
like, not really.
It's so bureaucratic, and because
But I feel like they should have more.
But it's like every time you see a prime minister or someone turn up there, you have no. I just look at it and go,
the
my
logistics
God,
for that.
That's about three months worth of meetings to get that guy there and not let anyone know about.
Oh,
it.
Okay.
So even for a bunch of bums like us, to get them in and out and
but they must be so appreciative when they've had nothing and you guys rock up. That must be great.
They really are. But the one thing they obviously worry about is your security. And they'd had rocket attacks onto the base a few weeks before we got there. And so when we arrived, they said after 8 p.m. you need to have your body armor and helmet with you at all times, even when you're going to the toilet at like 2 a.m. Now, I've had some dodgy curries. I've never had to wear body armour before.
Wow.
So things like
body
that, you go.
And hat. A gig I did in Frankston. I think I did in body armour.
And do we hear about that? You said they had some attacks on the base. But is that all kept like?
It's kind of kept quiet because it's just so
now we know.
It can be a commonplace. Did you go? Your show got rocket attacked in Kabul, didn't it?
Yeah, so we were in Kabul and they had the rocket attack. And I was standing at the back. They were playing that Alanis Morissette song, You Ought to Know. It was an all-girl band. And a rocket attack came in and I was lying on the ground thinking I'm going to die. Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought at least the Taliban hate Alanis Morissette too, so that's okay.
I'll let this one go through.
Now, how's this one? I'll leave you with this quick story.
Okay.
I was talking to a medic who was in Baghdad, so not the base that we were at.
Yep.
There'd been riots in Baghdad and they had troops out on the ground and a guy got hit not full on by a Molotov cocktail but by the edge of it. So he had a little bit of a flash burn on the side of his face, took his eyebrows off and stuff. He went into the medical department. They fixed him up, put some cream on and stuff. He went out the front to have a cigarette to go, whew, that was a close call. They were out the front. The Iraqis outside the base were shooting into the air like out of celebration and stuff. Yeah. A bullet came over the top, hit him in the stomach, got caught in the web of his belt, so put a little puncture wound and a massive bruise, but it went about that far, like an inch through his belt, and didn't go through.
Did he buy a Tats Lotto ticket the next day?
I think he might have.
I thought you were going to say he lit up a cigarette
and then
his face blew up. His face blew up.
Shot when he went outside.
Well done to you.
Yeah,
who
good
travelled
on you.
With you? Limo went with you.
I was with Limo.
With Limo.
Yeah, Cam Knight and Chris Ryan.
Congratulations to all of you and good
that's
on you.
It's important stuff.
For doing
it really
your,
is. It's
your
great.
Little bit. And you know what?
Like
you know, Jane, we're allowed to march in an Anzac Day.
Wow.
Right, so we're going to do it. We're going to get together. It's going to look like a float from the Mardi Gras. it's going to look like all the others, and then a bunch of bums.
And I will salute you both.
They'll think we're SAS because we've got beards.
That's because we've got beards.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead right. Good on you, mate. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Thanks,
Thank you very much. And hey, spare a thought for our men and women serving all in Australia as we come up to the Christmas period. Yeah. As Rosie says, over there for 8 to 10
really
months.
Tough conditions.
They're good people.
Yeah.
They represent us beautifully on the ground. And, spare a thought for those people serving overseas.
Up next, Gone Wild.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick and Jane. Gone Wild.
Okay, Jane Kennedy, Gone Wild, let's go. Do you want to get the ball rolling?
Yes, I'm going to talk about knickers.
Yes.
The world's biggest steer. Now, we talked about this.
We love this guy.
It's like it He's looks so fake. It's a giant black and white steer. It's at the WA Country Show and it's returned. And have we got a bit of audio about that?
Yeah,
got a bit of news on him? Let's have a listen.
Measuring 194 centimetres or 6 foot four and weighing close to 1.5 tonnes, it's little wonder Knickers broke the internet.
So Knickers went viral.
Massive.
And didn't we speak to Nick?
I think we spoke
dad?
To the owner.
Yeah, I think we did.
He's massive. Do you know what I'd like to do?
What?
I have a barbecue for
don't say
Knickers.
That. Knickers is the biggest celebrity attraction they've had at the Brunswick Games.
Could you imagine? You could feed 1,000.
No, well, in fact,
Knickers... the biggest barbecue you've ever seen.
Knickers is too big to go to the abattoir. That's what saved him in the first place.
You win this round, Knickers.
He simply couldn't fit through the normal handling equipment.
Post
yeah.
a picture of
You
Knickers
won't believe it.
It's like two giants in a pantomime costume, cow costume.
Here's the biggest attraction they're going to have at this show.
Look at that. What a monster.
I'm very happy, and please don't talk about Knickers going
to
the Knackers. Knickers
saying.
Is not going anywhere.
Man, there's a lot of beef there.
There
hey, can I
check that out?
Introduce you to my favourite horse in the world. It's a lazy horse.
Oh, this is beautiful.
That melodramatically crumples to the ground and plays dead every time someone tries to ride it. Jing Jang is unrelenting in a bid to stop people from riding him around the countryside. Every time someone tries to clamber on the saddle, he crumples to the ground. And there's a picture of him lying on the
ground.
He's
so cute. He's all saddled up. This is in Korea,
not today, I don't think. And off he goes. He's like the horse from Blazing Saddles that's just been punched in the face.
I love
he's
that.
He's gone bang.
He's not lazy. He's smart.
No, he's lazy. Someone. That's a lazy horse.
No.
He doesn't want to be ridden.
Why do you want someone like you on the back of him? Oh, he goes, man. I'd rather have a bit of a lie down. Thanks
yeah, well,
very much.
He's doing it. You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Chautauqua.
Oh, that's
the other
quite
lazy
true.
Horse which refused.
Don't says, you call Chautauqua lazy.
It's an out-and-out champion.
Stubborn.
I think won over $8 million of prize money and then just decided one day, yeah, I think I'm done with this.
Perfect.
Would
it
not jump
sense.
From the starter's gate. So we've got a couple of starts here.
They're off. Now I'm looking for Chautauqua and I can't find him. He hasn't jumped. Chautauqua hasn't jumped.
Yeah, I don't think
I
so.
Love that.
He's in the stalls having a cigarette, gang. Not today, fellas. We've got another one? I think we've got another one in.
They stand well. He hasn't jumped. He hasn't jumped, Chautauqua. He stood there again.
Yes.
Mate, we should get Chautauqua and Jing Jang together in a match race.
That's funny.
So one won't jump, the other one will fall over the minute a jockey tries to get on him. There you go.
I love that horse.
What else,
That's
Jane?
Great. Well, the Aussie icon, Chris the Sheep, we've got a bit of bad news.
Who's Chris the Sheep?
It was the sheep that had the biggest amount of wool.
Oh,
no, it was this massive and it went around the world because some lazy asshole didn't shave it.
That's right.
It was an iconic merino, okay? Pardon my French. Can we go to the news story because we've got some sad news.
An Australian sheep who made headlines in 2015 for his overgrown fleece has died. The merino sheep, called Chris, found fame after he was found to be carrying 6 years' worth of wool. He was thought to be around 10 years old.
Now, James, you pointed out to me.
Just a rat.
No, James said, that sounds like she's announcing the Queen's death. Like, so reverential, wasn't it? I'm not laughing, but that was 6 years' worth of wool. It weighed about 40 kilograms. And a guy who was a national shearing champion said he'd never seen like it in 35 years of work.
There should be a vigil at the big merino.
Oh.
And yes, is it yes?
Wollongong. He had a good life, didn't
Wollongong.
He?
Yes. I think it's yes.
All right. You've said yes,
home
yes, yes.
Home of the big merino. I've been inside the big merino.
We don't need to know about your personal life.
You know, I'm just saying. If you know,
don't brag.
You know, you go on holidays, you go to Paris. Sit out there and have a big strawberry.
You're the man of the people.
To go to see the big merino.
And the big pineapple.
Look at the big dags hanging off his bot.
I think we've got... we finished with all our wild stories.
What about the mice that are driving cars?
Rats are smarter than mice.
Stand corrected.
They've mastered the art of driving a tiny car, suggesting that their brains are more flexible than we thought.
Have we got a new story just to verify this?
The students have been so interested in using some of our old-fashioned behavioral principles to train the animal, and we're interested in how they can use the car as a tool to navigate the environment. It's a good learning opportunity, and we're not sure where that's going to take us. sweat destination, but it's been fun.
Wow, that's a very interesting story about the cars. Do you know what most rats are waiting for?
What?
Driverless cars.
Oh, my God. They
but you know
so
what they do? They probably get a bit of cheese, put it in the back and go on a road trip.
Hey, you know...
Thelma and Louise-style road trip. Come on. What?
Where Chris the sheep, you kept saying, it's yes, yes,
no,
yes.
No, not
Corey,
Chris the sheep, the big merino.
The big merino.
Merino.
The
Don't
big merino's
anything?
In, yes. And Corey, where's the big merino?
It's in Goulburn.
But Goulburn and Yass are pretty much the same place, am I
right?
Oh,
don't tell that to the people
of
Yass and Goulburn.
It's only about 150k's difference, but yeah.
Yeah, take that from Corey, mate.
Yeah, well, mate, when I saw it, it had been moved by drunk blokes. I'm sure.
Thank you, everybody. That's the end of... stand by.
Goulburn.
We have got a hero of the track. Wayne Gardner.
Okay.
Coming up to talk MotoGP.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Australian motorcycling ace Wayne Gardner.
Wayne Gardner.
Wayne Gardner.
Number one sporting hero down under.
He's the boy from the Gong that moved through the ranks to be the 1987 world champ on two wheels.
The first Australian to win the world championship.
When I started and I left Australia, nobody knew what the sport was.
Correct.
And if you said you raced motorbikes, they thought you were the Harley or a Hell's Angel, you know.
And with the bikes taking to the track this weekend for the Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix at Phillip Island, we welcome back to the show the winner of the first ever running of that event 30 years ago.
He's got it! The first ever
Aussie legend, Wayne Gardner.
Well, the first and the second, and such a fixture, they named the main straight after him down there at the home of MotoGP. It's Wayne Gardner on the line. How are you, Wayne?
Good, make yourself.
Yeah, can't complain. There you are down at Phillip Island in your natural habitat. How's it feeling? Is it like coming home?
I feel like a penguin down here. So, all dressed in my suit like a nice, you know, presented penguin. Yeah, looking good.
And they've all come in, just Jane Kennedy here, Wayne. All the competitors are coming from overseas. They've all started to land because it kicks off tomorrow.
Correct, yeah. There's, all the European riders, all the riders from around the world are here. So, you know, this is a global event. If you want to see great, the best motorsport, come to Phillip Island for the Grand Prix because it is without a doubt the best motorsport event in Australia.
Without doubt, and that track is world famous and I know the riders love getting on it. I did actually a lap on the back of Mick Doohan's bike down there. I know.
Exactly.
To this day, it was bloody scary to tell you the truth. And I still to this day not sure. When he took off, he popped a mono. And I'm not sure whether he meant to or it was my weight on the back. So
did he leave any skid marks?
I left a couple of skid marks.
I think Mick
may
have. Hey, now you've got big hopes for Aussie Jack Miller. How's he going to go?
Look, Jack's a very talented rider. You know, we've got two Australians in the GPs at the moment. You've got Jack in MotoGP and you've got my son Remy in Moto2. So Jack is, I think, a very, very talented rider. I think that he's finally getting his head down and being focused a little bit more. And he's been of a Jack the Lad in previous years. But he certainly can ride a motorcycle well and he's very talented. So I think, you know, all Australian riders, as I know, you rise to the occasion in front of your home crowd. And
how do you feel watching your own son? How do you feel? Because you know now must know how everyone else felt when you were doing it.
I'm shooting my pants. So,
I don't blame
that's
you.
That's the technical term.
It is true. You know, my dad said he could never watch me and now I know what he's talking about.
I was just thinking that when you said that.
Well, I'll tell you what, he could be racing against someone you almost could have raced against, and it's Valentino Rossi. This is staggering to me. He has been involved in a sport which you don't generally associate with longevity, but he was the best in the world over 12 years ago, and he's still doing it. What's his secret?
He loves it, firstly. Yep. Secondly, a huge amount of money.
But he could have enjoyed his money and gone to Monaco.
Well, he could, but he's got about 50 million reasons a year to continue on.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he's got about 50 wives to support.
No, I'm talking about his checkbook. Yeah. You know?
Not sure he's got any wives, to be frank with you. Hey, do you still get excited when you get on track and you're still involved in the sport, obviously, with your boy in it and you're always covering it? Do you still get excited? Do you still get goosebumps when you on race day when you step onto a big track like Phillip Island?
Yeah, so look, I still love riding motorcycles. In fact, just a week ago, I was actually challenged by the RAF, the Air Force down here, to race against the bike against their new CF21. And you know what? I loved it because I got to ride Honda Australia's Superbike, which is like, you know, 220 horsepower thing, and I'd forgotten how fast they went. I had a ball, and while they were organising all of the cameras and everything, getting ready for this drag race, I was wheeling up and down the length of the runway on the back wheel, and entertaining all the pilots and all the RAF base, you know, people. So it was fantastic, and I loved it, and I went, geez, even at 60, I can still do this.
Good for you.
Next time you do that, Wayne, I want to be in a sidecar, okay? Yeah. So if we can arrange that.
And I'll have a dink.
And Jane will have a dink. Hey, who's your tip?
I'll put you on the back, I'm afraid, not on the
back. Good on you, mate. Who's your tip, mate? Who's going to take the chockies, you think?
Well, I think that Australians always rise to the occasion.
They rise.
I know.
Yep.
And I think that Jack has a good chance of being in the podium, and you never know. In front of the home crowd, I think he might even possibly win the
race.
There
we go. Oh. Bang. There's great words of encouragement.
And in Moto2, I think exactly the same for Remy.
Good on you.
And good luck to you with son.
Thank you.
And I hope you can watch.
He hasn't quite won yet, but we're getting closer and closer.
I love
the crowd might get him over the line.
It's fun to watch.
Very exciting.
Now, listen, everyone, get down to Phillip Island. Make your way down. It's a great drive down. There's so many bikes going down. It's a real festive occasion. It's a wonderful weekend. It's a great advertisement for the sport. Drive carefully, keep yourself safe, and have a bloody great weekend. Thanks for swinging by, Wayne. We really appreciate your time.
Pleasure. But tell everybody to watch out for them penguins. They're everywhere.
Good on you, Wayne. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
No worries. See you guys. Ciao.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Brought to you by Holden Colorado at holden.com.au, and we are having such a great time
we
with
love
our
the Holden
wonderful
Colorado.
Holden Colorado.
It is just the bee's knees, the duck's guts, the calf to fufu, top of the tree, whatever you want to say.
7 years free schedule servicing is available. You won't need
it. It's the behemoth.
It is the behemoth.
Of all utility vehicles, and we love speaking to people who own them, and we've got a very special guest, a new to Holden, Colorado, on the phone right now, calling us from the great state of Queensland. It's Noel. How are you, Noel?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. How old are you, Noel?
I'm as old as me tongue, a little older than me teeth.
Okay. Well, we don't like to pry, but you might have had an 80th birthday recently.
I have, yes, a couple of years ago.
Good for you,
congratulations.
Noel. This is exciting.
Yes. I understand it.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. 80 is the new 60, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I did see that in the paper the other day.
Noel, over the journey, how many Holdens do you reckon you've owned?
We've owned 18 or 19. My wife was counting up this morning.
When would you have got your first?
Back in 1958, I bought a second-hand FX.
Okay. Now, I understand you are now, for the first time, the owner of a Holden Colorado?
That's right, yeah.
Bang! Even at 80, Noel's still got it. So what happened,
That's
mate?
Right.
You just went out and you went, you know what, I've had 18, 19 Holdens over the journey. I'm a committed Holden man. What's the latest? What's the top of the range?
I've got a crewman. I've had it for 16 years.
Yeah.
And I thought it's about time I updated, so I thought we'd go for something a bit better.
What have you got? The Summit White Colorado?
That's right.
How many Ks you clocked so far on that baby?
I think it's about a bit over 4,000.
Oh, she's brand new.
Yeah, brand new. You haven't even tried it out yet.
Now you
haven't even put it through its paces, Noel.
That's right.
Noel, you're a farmer?
I was a farmer, yes.
Yeah, you're still on the land?
No. Retired about 14 years ago.
Yeah.
That's it. So, mate, you're now you're retired. You got the Colorado. You're getting on in years. Is it the type of thing that, if heaven forbid anything goes wrong, they could pop your coffin in the back and drive you down? Wouldn't that be a great...
look, mate, I'm going to all outlast this damn thing.
Good for you, Noel.
Oh, what a great way to leave you this mortal coil in the back of a Holden Colorado. Mate, you sound like a ripping fella, Noel. I'd love to come out and go for a drive with you one day, and we'll put it through its paces. You're a good man. You're a good Holden man. And you finished at the top of the tree with the Holden Colorado. May you have many happy years between now and that day behind the wheel of your Holden Colorado, Noel.
Well, thank you very much.
You're a good man.
Thank you, Noel. You can find your dealer at holden.com.au, everybody, yeah, and live the life like Noel's living.
Well done, Noel.
Good on you.
Right to the gates of oblivion, Noel, on the Holden, Colorado.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It's been a good show. You've been,
a busy show.
We're missing Dave. What's your name?
I'm James. James. Good to be here.
So James has been filling in.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me a shot.
Okay.
That's your welcome.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I'm more encouraging.
We've had fun today. So, I mean, do you know what? It was like a bit of a boys' own. Like, not a boy. I don't mean boys' own, but it was very sporty. And we had, like, UFC fighters and MotoGP riders.
Yes.
And Rosie's stories of Iraq. And I just went, felt great. Felt like a real good.
As opposed to what?
Just the normal hoo-ha, you know. Talking about reality TV.
Well, I haven't even mentioned reality TV today. Yeah. I haven't even mentioned The Bachelorette.
Oh. What's The Bachelorette?
Do you know what, last night...
Is that still on? Now, yeah. Cindy, you have gone quiet on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, because I don't...
Normally you come in here and you...
I don't trust the boys are there for the right reasons. Angie is, but I don't think the guys are. They had to do stand-up comedy last night.
Oy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The boys had to get up on stage and
do a
routine.
I'd like to watch that. Why didn't you play some of that?
I'm going to play it tomorrow in Clown of the Week.
Why is that not kicking? Why are we not talking about that show?
I think because all the boys don't, they seem to me to be a bit disingenuous.
And she's not quite there?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, I think she's...
We said off-air conversation where you said that
the audience know you by now to know that you're full of it. No, she's great and she's giving absolute, I would say she gives great television and she's pretty. But the guys, I go, but you're not going to end up with him and he's a dickhead. And what's wrong with that crying baby fireman? And... No one's right for you. Stop it now.
So
get off.
Do they have the ability to inject people into it?
They've done that.
Yes.
The dog man whose aspirations...
What about The Block? I'm reading terrible things about The Block. So I don't watch The Block, but I'll tell you what I do. I do just watch the promos.
Yeah.
And it seems like every week they're making that girl cry. Is that fair?
Look, I think it's been a week for a few things being unveiled on reality television, like contracts and how binding and how... Well, I mean, people know it. You've watched the show before. You know what you're getting on.
But I'm just going from the promos.
Yes.
So I haven't watched the show. But it seems every week they're making that girl kind of storm out.
Do you know what the problem is?
Oh, tell her she's got no money or...
I think Scotty Cam, he has admitted this. The job's too big. They will never go back and do a project like they're doing because it's impossible.
Oh, well, what are they going to build, like a treehouse or something?
No, but this one's insane. This is just too hard. You know, people get upset and... She was worried that she's only been edited showing her carrying on and crying. I would.
Well, you better watch out from now on. There's been a precedent set with that type of stuff.
Well, there has. I mean, last night Channel 7 did announce all their new shows.
Don't bring up the most disappointing day.
It's not disappointing. I knew all along I wasn't going to be on it.
You got us to believe that you were going to get it.
I vehemently denied it.
For those
of you who don't know, Mick Malloy talked up that I was going to be the new co-host with Matt Preston and Gary Meehan on their new cooking show on Channel 7.
Yeah, and this is what I wake up to on sunrise this morning.
Celebrity chefs Matt Preston and Gary Meehan are calling 7 home, teaming up with Manu for a brand new cooking show, Plate of Origin.
Congratulations to Manu.
You've disappointed me numerous times over the journey, but I don't think I've ever been more disappointed.
Does this one take the cake?
This is the one.
You would have,
I had such high hopes for you because I know how much you wanted it.
You did not have high hopes.
I saw you work the phones.
You did
I saw
not.
You every day on the phone to Matt.
You would have been very envious of my soaring career.
George Columbaris has blood all over your hands.
That's not true.
You should
Stop
go and do
it.
A show with George. You, George.
Oh, George doesn't want to do a
show. And the chef from the Coogee Bay Hotel. You know, the one who makes human.
Now, it's your show coming back. I know.
Yes, my show.
It's your show coming back next year.
My Adventures as a Poo Jogger.
No.
Is a new pilot.
Stop it.
I'm working on.
You have
I think
the
it's
front bar
be great.
Is coming back. Oh, I'll tell you what's the show coming on. Pooch Perfect. Have you heard about this?
Pooch Perfect?
Yep.
Pooch Poo Jogger.
No, it's not the Poo Jogger. It's hosted by Rebel Wilson.
Yep.
And it's a competition dog styling series.
So you got to style the dog.
Yeah, not you.
Is it like a conventional dog show or like a, is it like?
There's 10 professional dog stylists and they take their clippers to the dogs.
Got your eye on that one now, have you? you're a crowbar. You would be good at that because you love dogs.
I know, but I can't groom them.
What about a dog cooking show? Where you get in the kitchen.
Recipes for dogs.
Recipe for dogs.
That's a good idea.
Get together with your lover boy.
Can you stop calling Dr. Chris Brown my lover boy?
And you could get together and do a dog.
Let me see what other shows are coming back.
So, what else?
I've got a new acting role for you. Falconio, an Outback Murder. Now, you could be
I would be a good Falconio.
You could be cast as him.
I'd be good Falconio. Or would I be a good, like, backpack murderer?
No, Bradley Murdoch you could be.
I could be Murdoch. I'd have to clean it up a bit.
Wife swap. Here we go. Here's another one you can be on. Gold digger.
I've never liked backpackers. I've got to say that. I've never had a fondness. It's very hard. I would have almost found him guilty and let him go.
I don't think we can discuss this.
Did you ever see that? There was my favourite bit of graffiti on the side of the Coogee Bay Hotel in Sydney, which was overrun with backpackers at the time. Yeah. And it simply said on the side of the pub, Ivan Milat for day release.
Oh, my goodness.
He's out of hospital, by the way. He's
still
back
kicking.
Kicking on.
Still alive. Great. There you go. Okay, what's another show I think you could be on?
What about Big Brother? Big Brother's back.
Oh, yes. Big Brother's back. I wonder
who could host that with Chrissy Swan. This is what I'm hearing around the tracks. Oh, Can you confirm or deny?
I have been speaking to Chrissy Swan this week.
Are going. Oh, my God.
I have
here
been
we go.
Speaking to Chrissy Swan this week.
I know, because Chrissy Swan was. She would be a perfect fit,
by the way. She would be fantastic.
She's done Big Brother. She's all over it. She loves the show.
She loves it. She's even put a hand up. She's
Why do I do?
I'd be the
because you've
second
got the
stringer.
Beady reality TV.
If you call me Beady one more time.
Anyway,
I've got beady eyes.
Let's go have a drink and you'll be back. Come on.
What are you talking about?
I'll put in a word for your seven. We'll get you on merch show.
Tomorrow we've got MG and Adam Shan to talk crime with us.
Australia v New Zealand. NRL coming up.
Another Kennedy Malloy adventure is complete. And with the Holden Colorado, every day is an adventure. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details.